Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her first son. And he called his name Jesus. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born of the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring word back to me, that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw their star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, Heavenly Father, we just ask for the next few moments here, for our remaining time, that your Holy Spirit speak through this vessel, opening all of our ears and our hearts to receive what you have for us. This day, we pray in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Wise men seek him. Wise men seek him. We've been talking about wisdom over the last month or so. And in the life groups, we go over the different things about wisdom. And we know that wisdom, the source of wisdom is God. We know that. And we know that we're to train our children in the way that they should go in terms of wisdom. We know that. Then it makes a turn, and it's more about us and how we are to respond to wisdom. And we get a really good picture of that today in the reading that we have. We are to seek wisdom. That's the call of this chapter. But before we do, we just want to lay what's happened up to this point. And I'm going to begin with Joseph. Joseph operated in wisdom once he heard from God. But the truth is, Joseph did not grab on to the wisdom that God had already poured into him by his word. Right? So he needed an encouraging move of the Holy Spirit by an angel to get him to understand that what is happening with Mary is of God. It's what the prophets talked about. And he talks about it in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was some 900 years, I think, 700, 900 years before Christ was born. It spoke very clearly of how this was going to come about, where it was going to come about. And then another prophet, Micah, said the same thing about where specifically it was going to come about. But when Joseph heard from the angel, he looked at his wife differently. because she was his wife. They were betrothed, but they hadn't been together like a husband and wife yet. And he had peace. Then he began to do the work of a husband and serve his wife until he came to the place where she gave birth to this baby. It was from God for man. What a beautiful story. So Joseph's wisdom came to be by listening to what the Spirit of God directed the angel of God to communicate to him. It's wisdom. When God speaks, and we move when God speaks, that's wisdom. When we resist God when He speaks to us, that's us acting purely in our humanity. That's not wisdom. Humanity doesn't have any wisdom in and of itself. Now I'm going to go back just a little bit before I move on. Go back to the garden, the very beginning. You've heard this 100 times before. We had an option as mankind. There were 2 trees in the garden. One was the tree of life, and the other was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And people think Adam and Eve opted for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which doesn't bring wisdom. It just brings knowledge. It doesn't bring understanding. It brings condemnation. And the world ever after has followed that pattern. We are in pursuit of knowledge. And God is calling us to be in pursuit of wisdom. Because He's the source of it. Alright? That's just a little backdrop review from 10,000 messages ago. How about you? Do you seek wisdom? Or do you seek self? In this day, I seek self way too often. I'm called to seek wisdom, and the root of wisdom is God. And I need to be pursuing Him, much like these 3 kings pursued Him. Let me talk about them a little bit. The 3 kings came from Persia, Iran, Iraq. They were under the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. That's where they came from. And then Belteshazzar, and then Cyrus. That is the time period we're speaking of. And the kings came out of that group. They belonged to a group of men called wise men, who were magi. So I'm telling you about the root of where they came from. They didn't leave from there because that was some 500 years ago. They're magi, or they're soothsayers. There are things that we say we shouldn't be participating in. They did activities we shouldn't do, but they were wise men in terms of they pursued knowledge. Trouble was, they didn't do it with the right heart because what they were searching didn't come from God until Israel goes into captivity. Nebuchadnezzar attacks Israel. They're brought out of Israel into captivity in Babylon. But with them came all the tools of the temple and scrolls that they had at that time. The scrolls at that time were the first 5 books of the Bible. The Pentateuch, the Torah, and also the prophets up to that time. I don't know them all, but I know that Isaiah and Micah and Jeremiah were all before this time. So this is what they're bringing with them as a people into captivity. This is the root of the wise men. So how did they work? Well, they did the bidding of the king. They follow what the king wanted. In a particular case, the king has a dream. We read about this in Daniel chapter 4 and Daniel chapter 6. The king has a dream. And in this dream, he can't figure it out. And he brings all these other wise men to explain the dream to him because they're supposed to be hearing from the gods. They're diviners, and I don't know if I said that word right, but they seek powers other than the one true God to get answers to their questions. And they can't interpret it. But in the exile came 4 men that you're all familiar with. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these were the best of what Israel had in terms of loving God, being righteous, knowing the scriptures. What comes to make the story go a little quicker, that it is Daniel that can interpret the dream of the king. He interprets the dream of the king, and it's exactly as it was. And Consequently, he received favor in God's eyes. Now, none of this is like stuff that requires any faith by us. This is all historical stuff. Okay, this is just basic history that you can find in many places. He gains favor. So much favor that, much like Joseph did, he rose up the ranks and he becomes one of the top wise men, if you will, of their day. So here's the beautiful thing about the wise men of that day. They're about collecting knowledge. So anything that the Israelites brought into captivity, which they, by the way, polluted the culture of the Babylonians, they corrupted it with a beautiful thing, which is the Word of God. And these men, because Daniel had favor, began to listen and study those scriptures that went in the bank of all their stuff, in the libraries of all that they had. So in the libraries, all kinds of information. Just stuff that means absolutely nothing, stuff that meant something, the Word of God. All, it's mixed in with all that. We fast forward to the day of Christ's birth. And these three wise men had been studying the scriptures, I believe, because they knew too much. We sing, we three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts, we travel afar, westward leading, still proceeding. You guys know that song? It's not a really accurate song. These were not kings. These were wise men who served the king, who may have had a part in electing the king, but they're just not kings. We three kings. These wise men come. And they know more than just their astrology, which they were big into. They know more than just the stars. You see, they had those scriptures. And they knew there was a connection with the scriptures and the truth of God's word. And they believed so much in the stars that the stars were pointing to that place. And an uncommon phenomenon with the stars occurs. And they link it to these scriptures. Now, you need to study this because I'm giving you my take and how I see this unfolding, and I believe it's biblically accurate. So they follow the stars. They know where to go. They know where to go, one, because of the star, but two, because they had Micah that tells them what's going to happen with the prophecy of Christ. They had Isaiah, the book, that told us about the sacrifice of Christ. And what he was going to endure. And they knew that it would come from a virgin. What a beautiful thing. So they make this journey. And this is no light journey. This is probably a 900-mile journey one way through the worst of places. Incredibly horrible travel. But something inside of them was stirring. I know this, that the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Does faith come by reading and reading by the Word of God? With the right heart, it does. If you read the Word of God with the right heart, you begin to hear in your spirit, and it becomes real to you. And the Word becomes real, I believe, to these men that they make this journey. That journey is proof of what it meant. And they make their way. And you all know the story of them and Herod. Herod's looking for this child too, because you know what? Herod knew the scriptures up here. And he believed that they would come to be. But in his humanity, in his selfishness, in all his heart's desires, instead of what God desires, he wanted to know who the Messiah was going to be to execute him, because he was too self-oriented, indulgent about him. And the wise men say, where it's going to happen. Wow, it just blows me away that how God, through His Word, still accomplishes His purpose, regardless of the people that He's dealing with, whether they're holy people or not. They leave Herod, and they come to this place. I know we all think it's a manger, because we want to think it's a manger. I wanted so desperately to be the manger because my favorite Christmas cards were the ones with the manger. But really, this is 2 years later, I'm believing, as I see it, and they go to the house where the baby is. The baby's probably 2 years old at this time. and they see this baby. The Bible says that they worshiped him and they gave him gifts. And the tell is in the gifts that they gave him. So they come with gold. Gold represents the kings. And I'm going to share what I just saw in the Nativity because I think it's the most powerful portrayal and it speaks to me, and I think it was like this. So can you picture him before this child coming down and administering the gold? And the gold is for the king of the kings. The next wise man comes and he has the frankincense and he comes down and he kneels before them. And the frankincense represents not royalty like the gold, but the frankincense represents the prayers. And he gives them the frankincense, and this is for the priest of the priests. Because when Jesus comes, he is to come as king and priest, just like Melchizedek. And the third one comes, and he has the myrrh. He bows before this little baby, this two-year-old Tyler, and gives him the myrrh, and he says, this is to honor the sacrifice. That is a picture. The gifts are a picture of what Christ is, who he is, and what he is going to do. He is the King of Kings. He is the Priest of Priests. And he is the sacrifice. We can't just look at this great day without looking at the sacrifice that follows. We can't. It's all about the sacrifice. And the beautiful thing of the story is it originates in an Old Testament that's some 400 to 600 to 800 to 700 years old. That's where it begins. And it plays out through the millennia. And it comes to the place where the child was born. See, wise men seek him. The question always comes back to us. Do we seek him? In Revelation, it talks about, we just prayed about this during the worship. It was so amazing that he was the Lamb who was slain from before the foundations of the earth. He knew what he had to do, and he did what he had to do, that we could be where he wants us to be, and that's with him. From before the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for how you work. Because his sacrifice was from before the earth. And his heart for you and me was for before the foundations of the earth. Why? Because he's all-knowing God. He's all-knowing. And all he wants us to do is by faith, believe. And here's what happens. Our flesh rises up. And we become like Herod. And we want to kill the Christ who's going to lead over us because we want to lead ourselves. It is our own selfish ways that prevent us from coming to him. And we go right back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life, which is in God. We are no different. We are no different. We're not looking to go chop the heads off little babies. Not like that. But we are about putting ourselves in his place. But it says, wise men seek him. And my question is, do we seek him? Do we seek him? Now, seeking him isn't just coming to this service at Christmas time. That's not seeking him necessarily. Seeking him is different. When I seek him, I'm seeking him honestly out of my need for him. I'm seeking him myself because of the desperation I have. For what only he has the antidote for. That's my sin. So I seek him. I seek him when I get into his word and I want to grow by knowing him better. Then I'm seeking him. Some people seek the word to make arguments against the word, to find flaws in the word, and they never see the truth of the word. There's like a veil put over their eyes. Wise men and women seek him. Seek him. Some seek him when it's convenient. like somebody in your family is desperately sick. So we seek God, help us. Heal this person, and I get that, and I feel that pain. Make it better. It hurts. I lost my job. Help me get my job back. I can't make my payments. I'm going to lose my home. So I seek Him. I understand that. That's not a saving grace kind of seeking. However, sometimes when we don't come to Him, it's God's way of getting our attention, so we call on Him, and we discover Him in our seeking. You see, I'm going to go back to Joseph for a second. Joseph was to name him Jesus. Joseph was to name him Jesus, which means basically salvation. He saves us because He saves us. And then the next part, two verses later, it says, His name is Emmanuel, which means He's with us. Which speaks together, it speaks to the action of God, to the relationship of God with us. And when He comes as Emmanuel to us, His desire and His heart for us is to be in relationship with Him. That's the gift He gave us. The gift we give Him is like the wise man. Of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's to understand that He is the King of Kings. He is the Priest of Priests. He is to be honored for His sacrifice. When we get that, then He gives us Jesus in Emmanuel. Thank you, Joseph, for being so real and so authentic and being just like I would be, except better. Thank you for that. We're going to take communion. And this, we're going to take communion as a body of believers. And this communion is for people who believe that Christ is that gift to us. And we know in our heart that He's the gift for us. And we receive it as such. And we know that the Lamb that was slain from the beginning or the foundation of the earth did that so that I could be with Him eternally because my sin has caused me to be apart from Him. And He came to eradicate that He could be Emmanuel in relationship with me. If you want a relationship with Christ, that's what it is. That you are in relationship with Him, and your sin issue is done because He took care of it. When you give it to Him, He takes care of it. As though it never happened, He remembers it against you no more. And we begin to worship Him like the wise man did with gold, because He is the King of Kings. Now, I'm not asking for gold. We're talking about a heart issue where we worship Him as King of your life. That's what this is. You've never done anything like that, that Jesus takes away my sin and Jesus forgives me of them, and then He is my Lord, which means He is the only way to the Father. That's what the Bible teaches. There's no other way to the Father but through Him. And you've never done that before? I'm going to ask you, first off, everybody to just bow your heads, because it's a personal thing. You can just bow your heads and close your eyes. And you want to receive Jesus because you never have. That I have come that you might have life. I didn't come to judge you. I came to save you from judgment because you're already judged. If you want to receive that today, with every eye closed here today, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up so I can see it, and we're going to pray together. Nobody's going to get called out or embarrassed. But if you want to receive that saving grace, it's between you and God. Just raise your hand if that's you. Does anybody want us to receive that today? Yes, sir, I see that hand. Is there anybody else? Elizabeth, your daughter, is raising her hand so you can talk to her. Is there anybody else that would like to see? Yes, I see that young girl on her dad's lap. I see the two over here in the center. Is there anybody else? Little guy over there. Boy, well, there's a parent there. He's got some work to do with his kids. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. In the back? Okay. Can you all pray with me together? Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I know my need.
I am a sinner.
And I'm trying to earn my way on my own. And I know I fall short. But you didn't fall short.
You didn't fall short.
I ask you to forgive me.
Take my sin.
Take my heart.
Fashion it
to the way you would have
it.
Be my Lord.
Be my King.
In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now the words that we said, they're nice, but it's the attitude of your heart that matters. And I pray right now for every hand that went up, regardless of the age, that God pour into your heart the desire to seek Him, to know Him more. And that's for your benefit and for His glory. And the prayer I have for every person in this room is the same thing. If you've been a Christian a long time, you've followed Jesus for a long time, that you would have a desire to seek and know Him more. I pray that in Jesus' name. And that God's blessing would come upon you in ways that He would even reveal to you, and you would say, that had to be from God. I pray that for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This part here was us examining our hearts. And the Bible says that before you commune with Him, that we should examine our hearts to make sure we've taken care of our stuff. And that's what you've done here today, is you've examined yourself. We confess our sin to Him, and we go clean before the communion table. This is a good thing to do. So that's what we just did. So what we're going to do is the ushers are going to escort you back to get your communion elements. You come back to your seats. We'll pray and take communion together at that time.